Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. I had a professor that taught economics. His name was Professor Carnes at Gonzaga. He taught macro and microeconomics. Sounds a lot like a lot of fun. That's why you came here this morning, to hear about economics. You know, economics teachers are very serious, and Professor Carnes was very serious. And when he was making a point that you knew was going to be on the test, he'd do something very specific. His glasses would lower to the tip of his nose, the chin would go down to the chest, and he'd look out above his glasses. And when he was doing that, we knew whatever he's about ready to say is going to be on the test. It didn't happen very often throughout the semester that he did this, but, you know, three or four times throughout macroeconomics. And it especially happened when he was teaching about the law, the economic law of supply and demand. Perhaps you know the law of supply and demand. Professor Carnes would lower down the glasses to the tip of his nose, and he would say, you can count on this, it always works. The law of supply and demand, when supply is very low and demand is high, he concluded, chaos happens. And panic sets in and lots of fear. And Professor Carnes listed off a lot of historical examples of when this had happened throughout the country. When paper was short, people went out and bought all kinds of toilet paper because there was worry about this. Does anyone remember the toilet paper shortage? Do you remember what year that was? Professor Carnes would always talk about the toilet paper shortage. I don't know why. Now, the issue with Professor Carnes was that he was 100% sure about the law of supply and demand. And his teaching was, when supply is low and demand is high, panic and fear grips everyone, and you can bank on it. And if you don't believe in that, you're going to get an F on the economics test that is coming. Well, isn't there some truth behind Professor Carnes' teaching? When supply is low and demand is high, panic and fear sets in. Have you ever had a time when you were low in supply on something? Alicia and I, when we were driving out to Oregon 5 years ago, our supply was quite low in gasoline in eastern Utah, of all places. So we're probably below an eighth of a tank. Alicia's walking in. I want her to hear this because it'll give a chuckle to her. We're a little bit below an eighth of a tank in gas in eastern Utah, and the stretch between towns in eastern Utah is quite a ways, and not every town has gasoline. And so we passed a town, I don't remember the name of it, Alicia may remember it, and we looked at the tank, and Alicia said, you know, I think you should stop for gas, Jeremy. This is kind of a desolate place. I'm one to just push it, and let's just go. Let's go to the next location. We'll make it. And sure enough, about 5 minutes after passing that little town, Professor Carnes, low supply, high demand, panic and fear struck us. What are we going to do for gas? We took I don't know if it was a good decision or a bad decision, but we took an exit off the highway and went to a small town. Maybe a mile or so off the highway, maybe a little bit further. It was a dusty gas station. Thankfully, there was a gas station there in that town. Alicia and Kaya, Claire was in the tummy at the time. I went into the gas station to pay, and in the gas station in the lobby area, I asked the attendee. I said, "What is this town known for? What do you do around here? It seems so odd." And he looked at me dead in the face and said, "We're known for polygamy." Do you remember this? This is true. I got out of there quickly. I grabbed Kaya, grabbed Alicia, got in the car, and took off. And now whenever that gas tank goes to about an eighth of a tank, Alicia has something to say to me about that. Remember the time in eastern Utah. See, low supply, high demand, that's when panic and fear sets in. Professor Carnes taught it well. It's just a law that's out there in the world that we recognize, the law of supply and demand. Friends, we have another professor visiting us this morning. Not Professor Carnes. Professor Elijah. He's here. 1 Kings chapter 19. And see, Professor Elijah has a different theory about supply and demand. Professor Elijah teaches this. When supply is low and demand is high, don't panic. God will provide. That's way different than Professor Carnes. Elijah is low on supply in our text here this morning. Why is he low on supply? Well, Jezebel is after him. Jezebel is an important character, person, real person that lived. And her name is brought out from basically 1 Kings all the way to the end of the Bible. It's important to know who Jezebel was. Jezebel was the queen of Israel. She was married to the king at the time, King Ahab. But more importantly, Jezebel was the daughter of the king of Tyre and Sidon. That was a group of city-states on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. It was an arranged marriage. And you see, Jezebel brought great economic prosperity to the kingdom of Israel with that marriage to King Ahab. There was lots of lumber that was coming over to Israel. Israel was able to ship whatever they had out the coast into the Mediterranean Sea. Jezebel brought great prosperity to the land. Jezebel also brought her religion, which was immoral and practiced child sacrifice. Didn't believe in the one true God. You see, when Elijah speaks, he's speaking against the person that has brought economic prosperity and the religion, the national religion, to the land of Israel, and he runs for his life because Jezebel threatens to kill him in 1 Kings chapter 9. See where we're at? No supply. He has nowhere to go. God says, Elijah, arise and eat. Elijah goes and he hides he goes to sleep. God comes again and says, arise and eat, Elijah. And Elijah goes to Mount Horeb. You know, as I was studying this week, the life of Elijah, it's not a prophet I study all that often, I saw a theme developing with Elijah. Whenever he was in low supply and just out of resources, God came and provided. It happens actually a couple chapters before. Elijah predicts a famine in the land, and Ahab and Jezebel don't like that again, and they send him out to a desolate place, and there Elijah doesn't have anything to eat, and the ravens feed him at just the right time. And then another time in which Elijah is out of food, he goes to the widow of Zarephath, and she just has, all she has is just some cake flour and a jug of oil and hardly has anything to survive. And at just the right moment, all of a sudden, there's enough flour and oil to survive. And at the end of Elijah's life, Elijah cries out. He cries out, Lord, am I the only one who's left? And at just the right moment, God comes to Elijah and says this to Elijah. There are still 7,000 in Israel who have not bowed their knee to Baal, and Elijah, I'm going to provide a person to follow you that you're going to train, Elisha. So we have two professors here this morning. Professor Carnes, supply is low, demand high, panic and fear should grip you. Elijah says, supply is low, demand is high, God will provide. Which professor speaks to you? Where are you at this morning with supply? Are you low in supply this morning? Perhaps it happens to us all. You see, Elijah uplifts his voice. There's nothing wrong with this. Elijah says, Lord, take my life. He's in despair. Take my life. I have nothing to live for. I have no supply. Are you there this morning? Maybe a relationship that has gone in a way that you don't think anything good is going to come from it. Maybe it's tomorrow, just Monday morning, waking up. Something difficult is around the corner. Are you out of supply this morning? I think most people spiritually accept Professor Carnes' view Low supply, high demand, panic and fear. Nothing good is going to come. But you know what, friends? Sometimes when we're at our greatest need, just like Elijah, God does provide in a powerful way. You know, this summer there's been a couple stories of some amazing ways in which people have been provided for in their moments of greatest need. Maybe you heard the story, but down in Texas, there was a husband and a pregnant wife. And the wife was very close to delivery. And they made plans to connect with friends at a Chick-fil-A in this town in Texas to hand off their two children so that they could watch. And then they were going to drive to the hospital and deliver this baby. But of course, when they got to Chick-fil-A, the baby was coming. The store had closed at 10:30 p.m. The manager, the owner of the Chick-fil-A, said, "You can come in and use our restroom." And the couple went in, and she went into delivery, went into labor. No supply there in Chick-fil-A, just a restroom. Can you imagine that? All they had were towels that were in the kitchen that they warmed up to welcome in that baby into the world. That's not a great way to do it. See, no supply, and there that baby was born in the restaurant. Now here's the kicker with the story. Great supply came. Chick-fil-A will feed that family for the rest of their life because that baby was born in that bathroom. Not just that, but Chick-fil-A also guaranteed that child a job when they turn 14 years old. So if you know anyone that's pregnant, that, you know, in that story, what mattered was where they went and also that the owner was very compassionate and willing to give in that moment. Friends, you are in a much better place than Chick-fil-A. Do you know who the owner of your life is? It's the God of Elijah. The God of Elijah who provides at just the right moment. The person that owns you, friends, is not the law of economics or the law of science or the law of the universe. See, the person that owns you is the God who wrote the laws of the universe and wrote the laws of economics and wrote the laws of science. And the God of Elijah, who owns you, will provide in your greatest hour of need. Just as God jumped into Elijah's life at moments at Horeb, at the widow of Zarephath's house, with the ravens by the brook that had gone dry, God jumped in one more time to tell his people, not just Elijah, but each one of you, that he will always provide. He sent his son Jesus. And when he came into the world, he said this, "I am the bread of life. Who, if you are hungry, if you eat of my bread, you will never be hungry, you will never be thirsty, and you will have everlasting life." The God of Elijah owns you. He is your God. And Jesus is not the kind of bread that's with you for a day or 40 days as Elijah had. Elijah had 40 days up on Horeb just on that meal that was given there. No, this bread satisfies for life. And when you reach your moment in which you are in your greatest despair, death, and it will happen to everyone here, that bread will give you eternal life. Chick-fil-A cannot do that. That bread will give you everything you need. Jesus is the bread of life. You know, as we think about Elijah, Elijah wasn't perfect in his life at all. Elijah made mistakes, and he was gripped with fear and doubt, those panic moments and those moments of supply. And you know what made the difference in his life as I've studied this? The voices that were speaking to him. Check this out in the Bible. It's there. You see, when this little phrase occurs in 1 Kings 17 and 19, when this little phrase occurs, Elijah does the right thing and he lives with confidence in God. When it says the word of the Lord came to Elijah, that little phrase, Elijah follows and does what he should do. But whenever Elijah listens to the other voices in his life, like Jezebel, and she voices threats to him and tells him the way that he should live, that's when Elijah is gripped with fear and he's depressed and he's upset. That's the story of Elijah. Which voice is he going to listen to? God and his word, or Jezebel and Ahab and all the others in his life? Isn't it the same with us in our life? There are many voices that come to us. They speak to us like Professor Carnes, and they try to tell us, be gripped with fear and panic. But the most important voice is the voice that speaks this morning to us. The God of Elijah, who gave food at just the right time. The God of Elijah, who sent his son, the bread of life. He's your God too. So let's listen to Professor Elijah this morning. Low supply, God will always provide. Amen.